Hey, wait. After this, I'd like to give you your seat.
What's the date?
What's that?
What's the date?
Have you moved your chair this way? Have you moved your chair this way?
Please. Just a tad. Just say all my lines I want to say.
¿Dónde está? How do you say Jeff in Espanol?
Jefe.
¿Dónde está jefe?
No, not jefe.
No sé.
Jefito.
Diego.
I don't know.
How's Harry at?
I haven't seen him. Didn't stop.
Is he just real tired still? No.
Tired.
Oh, he got some nausea?
Kind of got it a couple days
late. He asked me to come down and see him, and then I got tied up in the other thing, and I didn't. So I asked Ronnie to tell him what happened. So.
How's Marie doing?
She's, they kept her there until about 2, and they were able to, you know, do all the tests and do everything, and then they targeted the right antibody, and so they kept her there until they, for a couple hours after they thought they had the right antibody, and then her fever went down. So.
Wow, that sounds pretty serious.
Yeah, it was her fever spiked at 105.
They don't know exactly what time the infection
was. I don't, but I was so tired I couldn't think about asking the right questions. Let's go. I told you a story yesterday. I said that was the last day we're going to spend on Stumbling Block, but I did it again. Isaiah something. Isaiah 50. 57. The Buckner chapter.
There.
So am I. Verse 7. Upon a high and lofty mountain hast thou set up thy bed, and even thither wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. I think a long time ago I talked about it when I got back from Greece. No matter where you went in Greece, at the top of the hill, you know, there was a grove of trees, and there was a small cemetery, and there was a lot of, you know, I won't go into all the details, but it was the physical picture of what we do in our mind here. Upon a high and lofty mountain hast thou set up thy bed. Even there wentest thou up to offer sacrifices. It's Does everybody understand what that means? Gary.
I don't understand.
Hmm?
What does that mean?
Well, on the seven mountains of your mind, we've talked about 100 times, upon which the horse sitteth. Just to make sure, again, that everybody sees this, let's go to, just keep a bookmark in Isaiah 52:7 and go to Revelation 17.
Bed is not so you can take a nap.
No. Remember, fornication, again, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Fornication, according to Hosea, is going anywhere other than the Father for anything. And so, you set up your bed when you feel that, if you're in that, whatever the buzzword is for, in the bliss, or when you're just doing, then there's nothing going on. But the moment that something goes wrong, or it doesn't happen the way you think it should be, or you're interrupted, then it's almost instantaneous. In the human race, you go up to the mountain and set up your bed to find a solution to whatever it is. Got it? That's why the Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want for anything. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So no matter what it is, you wait. You don't go figure it out, because in figuring it out, that's called fornication. And if any of you are, if you are not fed up with that by now, you're a little nutty. That's, yeah, all those things, Ronnie. Preach it, Ronnie. So, in chapter 17, verse 3. Well, let's go to verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, Come here, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, the waters there is, it's always in the running water is the spirit, still waters is the human race. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now the wine of her fornication is the wine of Ephraim, which is the whole wine of being self-aware, self-seeking, neat thoughts. Getting a little clearer, Mr. Buckner?
Yeah, I was just playing dumb.
Oh, I see. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And this is your Sanhedrin. This is the Sanhedrin of your mind that all men have. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup of her hand in her hand full of abomination and filthiness and of her fornication. Now the problem is the golden cup that's in her hand that's filled with filthiness and abomination is what the human race thinks is good. Because you got an idea, you got solutions, you got this, you got this plan, you got this figured out. But that's all the cup of the wine, the filthiness of the fornication. A little bit. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the great mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. And the reason this is called the mother of harlots and of Babylon is because that's where you go up for cause and effect. You're going to do this action and you'll get this result. A little bit more understanding? And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. It says all the world is wondering after her. And it's the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs is because all of the people that every time you were up doing your worship session and somebody got, and you come up with an agenda and then somebody got in your way, what happens? You kill them. And the angel said unto me, wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. And the beast that's carrying her is you. The dragon gave a voice to the beast, but he's still the beast. That's why Jesus said of the Jews that believe on him, you are of your father, the devil, because your identity is your ego. And your playground are these 7 mountains where you go up and offer your strange sacrifices. That's why I keep saying over and over that what your religion is outwardly is meaningless. It's what happens internally, when you're confronted with something you don't like. And all, the expression of that is judgment and gossip and tale-bearing and... Let's say, well, anyway. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall, even though she's gone, they dwell on the earth and wonder whose names were not written in the book of life. Everyone, because the whole thing was wounded, this beast was wounded by a deadly head wound. By the crucifixion, the seed of woman overcame that evil one, and yet we give him breath. Every time we go up to the mountain, we bring life back into him.
What's interesting, now, phraseology, was, is not, yet is.
Well, I mean,
that's what you just said.
Yeah. And verse 9, and here is the mind that hath wisdom. The 7 heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And these are the 7 kings. 5 are fallen, 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue for a short space. And we'll go into that as historically and everything some other time when we have more time. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7 which goeth into perdition. That's because you've raised, he's of the 7, but he's of the, now he's the 8th because you raise him from the dead again. A little bit.
Is that talking about actual kings, or is that analogous to...
There's always something in the scriptures. There's always something that happened to Israel that will fit this, but I'm not caring about that, I care about you. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So that's what happens. That's what happens when you go back up there. That's what you're really doing, is you're giving power unto these kings. They have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. They have one mind. You understand? Since this is named the Buckner chapter.
You got a lot of chapters in here.
No, this is the only one. It's Isaiah 57. This is Isaiah. It's referencing Isaiah 57.
It's the Buckner reference.
And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the horse sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now why? Because they're always going to fail. Anyway, Let's go back to Isaiah 57. Verse 8, behind the doors also in the post I shall set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. And thou wentest to the king, and that's Molech, not Melech, with thy with ointment, and did increase thy perfumes, and did send thy messengers far off, and did debase thyself even unto hell. Again, you're sending your messengers afar off. Remember in Ezekiel 8, when you take him and take him into the future. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, and yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. Now, remember, the strongest one of these mountains is the home of the Jebusites. The Jebusites were, it says in all over the scriptures, but it says the Jebusites are still on that place.
Sorry, I can't hear.
The Jebusites were the inhabitants of Jerusalem before David. So it's they were the last of the seven tribes that were on in Canaan, you know, that the Israel had to defeat. And it says in Judges and in Joshua that the Jebusites are still there even unto this day, because they are this thing called hope that everybody admires and wants. And all what I'm, you know, Benny Hinn's famous comment, even though these might be false, I'm still doing it to give people hope.
He said that?
Yeah, I target him a little bit.
King of the Jebusites.
Thou art weary. Now, you got, every one of you knows this one. You know that you know that you know. You're wearied in the greatness of your way. Yet you say not, there is no hope. Even though all of these kings that are in the mountains and all the stuff has failed you, there's no answer. You still go back up there. Again, you still want to carry the government on your shoulders. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, and therefore not you are not grieved. You dug around, and just like Cain did, you dug around in the dirt and tried to find a right offering. You dug around in yourself, and then you got allies to tell you how to do it. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared? Thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart. Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest, and still thou fearest me not? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. No matter what they are, especially your own works in the name of God, because that's where the greatest deception is. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. Let all these friends that you have made over the since the beginning of your self-awareness, let them deliver you. Everybody understand? But the wind shall carry them away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me, and again in Hebrew it's much stronger, he that putteth his trust only in me for the slightest thing shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain, which is different than the mountains that you have, and shall say, cast you up, prepare the way, take the stumbling block out of the way of my people. That's what from my perspective, that's my only job, is to take the stumbling block away by showing you the stumbling block is a stupid, idiotic thing, the illusion of control, the illusion of wanting to protect yourself, the illusion of having some solution in time and space for anything. The stumbling block then, by definition, is anything that takes you off the mercy seat. And the only thing that can take you off the mercy seat is the great transgression, which is self. Now let's go to one more scripture. Go to John 15. Ronnie, I don't know what we'd do without you.
Me
We studied this the other day, but I wanted to put it in context with Isaiah 57 and Revelation so you can see it. If the world hate, in verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Now this is the operative verse. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. It was impossible, apparently, except in a very few instances when people saw his day and were glad. But it's no more impossible then than it was now, for people to see their sin. Because your cloak for your sin is the stumbling block, the pretense, the acting. And that's what the word cloak means. It's prophosis. And it means they have no way to, no successful way, pretense, to hide their sin. Because if you have the discernment of a gnat, you can see when somebody is on that trip. Because all the questions are I. And all the talk is I. Or mine. Or what do I do about my thing? You die. So that the use of I or mine or any kind of possessive, my problem, my issue, my deal, the use of that becomes as strange to you as if you couldn't breathe. But your senses have to be exercised to discern soul from spirit. Spirit is the only thing good. In Hebrews it says, discern good from evil. But evil is the soulish nature. Spirit is the only thing. That has no dependency on time. You should, and that's why the exhortation, at a time when you should be teachers, you have need that someone teach you which be the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. Because you don't know the difference between soul and spirit.
whole self is the cloak. And that cloak has many tricks and ways and means of hiding.
Now let's go back. We're gonna go to Psalm 19, and then we'll put a coat on it. I'm too sleepy to talk anymore. You know, John, I think that if you could only just finish the song about Psalm 18 and then Psalm 119,
then your work. Psalm 119?
No, we're going to 19. But I just happened to see Psalm 18 before, because it was just before 19, and I noticed how long it was, and I remembered it.
I think that's probably another generation.
Verse 7. The law, I'm losing my voice, among other things. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired. Now notice it says, are they? This is one of the few times King James missed it. It really says, more to be desired is he than gold. So all of the law, the testimony, the statutes, the commandments, the fear, the judgments are all he. What's going on, Gary?
Can't find the place.
Psalm 119. Psalm 19.
Psalm 19.
See, now, again, I wish therein you would have interrupted me. In the midst of not knowing where it is.
I thought I'd find it right quick.
Okay, so remember in verse 10, more to be desired is he than gold. But the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired is he than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep thy servant also from presumptuousness. It doesn't even say sins. And let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And the word innocent is naka, means totally and completely empty. So that you can truly walk in dependence without anything else interfering. You're no longer a debtor to your god-awful emotions. Oh, I love my emotions and your idiot mind. But you can't do that until you know your mind's an idiot. You really understand? That how you know, have no more sweet thoughts?
If I do, I know what to do with them.
But it might be probably stay there a minute and enjoy them for a second.
So that I realize what they are. Hey, this is a sweet thought.
He confesses them to us. Walking through the coffee.
And Anybody have any response to any of this? We're going to now maybe leave the stumbling block.
I was wondering.
It's just that thing where you said about the, I guess it's Isaiah, we're reading, you know, it's like you're weary of your way. You know, it's like that's why so many people, you know, they know they're, it's not, this isn't working, you know, but, and so they'll hear what we're talking about. It's like there's something in there that's,
oh, this is great, Ole. I'll be here forever.
Well, just because, you know, because they don't, you know, they know something's wrong. But, you know, it's that, you know, saying there is no hope is the thing that makes you, you know, say, no, I'm just going to have the mountains fall on me.
Yeah, that's going to be a wall. They go, duh.
They knew the judgment was the wrath of the Lamb. Still, they hid themselves in the mountains and caves rather than repenting. Sound familiar to anybody?
Hell no.
The mountains and the caves are these things. You got little places of refuge in your whoredom mountains. Then you go in there and whore around for a little while and say, oh, Father, I repent. But I'm just doing what I do. Mr. Jeff, understand a little bit?
A little bit.
That's all that's needed.
Have you stopped resisting?
You're asking him that? Kevin?
Meeting your wife.
You talked about more to be desired is he. I remember listening to a teaching on covenant and how there was always an exchange of property or abilities or things that represented me. And how when God cut the covenant with Abraham, he said, I am a shield to you. In other words, God can't give you anything. He gives himself.
Amen. Amen.
The problem is we get confused. We want things. We don't want him.
Well said. Well, just give me peace, Lord.
You want that song?
Well, what I want you to do is when you something reminds you is to sing it. I don't care where we are. I want you to be boom, boom, boom.
That can be
without self-judgment.
People don't like that.
Without governing.
I like it, but I'm scared of it.
Your dialogue, maybe a song, a testimony, a hymn.
Not as loud
and
as passionate.
See? Passion. So I gotta not sing like now. A dead person.
I love the Lord. Fucking A.
Jeff is more of the Gregorian chant tone.
I love the Lord.
Take it large person. Don't let wait, Jeff's about to sing. Take it quickly.